I'm going to put it right here in the middle, not to intimidate you. Or maybe you guys want to scoot down here. Okay, we can get it in the middle over here.
And then you put it by me.
And put it right in front of you.
You're so nice.
Yeah, I know. Okay. This is our third check meeting for the year. It is March 30th. It's about 4:20 in the afternoon. My name's Dr. Linda Borgansky, and I'm the Associate Superintendent of Student Services.
I'm Shannon Murphy, and I am a parent. I have a sixth grader and a ninth grader.
I'm Shauna Fuller, and I'm also a parent, and I have a junior and twin eighth graders.
I'm Tina Purcell. I'm a Texas history teacher, seventh grade at the junior high.
I'm Veronica Villarreal. I'm the counselor at the third and fourth grade.
My name is Sandra Martinez. I'm a case manager with Communities and Schools, and my office is at the SDGC campus.
My name is Savannah Bledsoe, and I'm the district social worker.
I'm Donna Solis-Garcia, superintendent.
I'm Sydney Jurek. I'm the counselor at the primary, which is first grade and second grade.
I'm Stephen Winselowitz. I'm the prevention coordinator for the Coastal Bend Wellness Foundation.
I'm Shush Gamales. I'm the director for youth programs at Coastal Bend Wellness Foundation.
Hello, my name is Gina Valdez, and I'm the food service director for the district.
My name is Emma. I am the student of this
meeting. We're glad
awesome.
You're here.
What grade are you in?
I'm a junior.
Okay. Okay. Awesome.
Good deal.
Great. Glad you're here.
So you're with us for 2 years.
Yeah. And we have someone on Zoom. Would you like to introduce yourself?
I told them to wait until after the presentation. Do you want me to go unmute? Like, I muted it.
Oh, okay. So he can't hear me. All right. Yeah. He can introduce himself when he starts. Okay. All right. Mr. Reyes is not here, so Mrs. Fuller will be leading us in our meeting. We do have an agenda here.
Yes, we do.
Right. We do. And let's see. We are going to do our presentations first because I know people have places to go and everything. So we're going to listen to the presentations first, and we're going to start with Second Step. If you, Cindy, if you want to get started, this is Second Step is a social emotional learning platform. And the counselors at ECC Primary, Elementary, Intermediate have already heard this presentation once. And I asked Cindy if Tyler could come and present to the Shack and tell us what this program's all about. So, Tyler, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Hello, everyone. My name is Tyler Morrison. So I kind of help districts and schools with Second Step through a committee for children. So I'm actually here in Seattle, Washington, currently. I come from education background. So I've been a teacher. I was a high school science teacher for 5 years before this. So definitely familiar with working in schools and understand how this whole committees work and determining the right curriculums. And so here, I'm here to be flexible and answer any questions you have. I can also present or give any demos on the program. I know that Cindy's also going to go through it as well. So I'm just here to help out any way I can. So let me know, ask questions.
Okay, so as counselors, we were wanting to find a curriculum that would start at kindergarten and go through sixth grade, and just kind of have some continuity. And we wanted, with everything going on, really kind of the mental health epidemic in our nation, it just needs to be addressed. And so when we started looking at curriculums, I found Second Step. And what I liked the most about Second Step was that it talks about, I work with the little ones, and so it talks about coping skills, which post-COVID and with all the trauma that these kids and teachers have gone through, I really feel like they need coping skills, such as how to handle their anger, how to handle sadness, just any kind of big emotions, and really to normalize it for them, because it makes them feel like they're irregular, but they're not. All of us feel that way, we just deal with it in different ways. So I've been trying to teach that to the kids, and I just want to make sure that I'm doing it right. And so I don't want, and so I wanted this curriculum that's backed up by evidence and that has the castle and the teaks behind it. And I thought it would really benefit us to start it at kindergarten and then just have a follow through. So the kids are aware, the teachers are aware, everybody knows. And so by the time they get to junior high, I think the ultimate goal is for them to be able to verbalize if they need help. That's the age where we start to see a lot of self-harm, suicidal threats, suicides. And I think it all starts with coping skills and then also how to verbalize when they're in crisis. And so when I looked around at curriculums, this is the one I found that I thought was the easiest for teachers to use, because that's a big thing for the teachers to actually be able to use it, because they are very busy, and the counselors have a piece, the parents have a piece, the students have their own piece. We can have small groups and they have a piece. So I just like all of the different components of it. So we sought out Tyler. Yes.
How many different curriculums did you consider?
I looked at four curriculums. One I just looked into though. So I looked at three. And then this one I liked because it had, or what made it stood out was because it had a digital piece. And so that would be what we would look into. So teachers can easily access these resources without having to have copies of it because the easier we can make it for the teachers, the more likely it's going to get used. So that's just me.
What's the plan for providing parental access to the digital component?
So probably Tyler can answer that better, but I do know that there is a parent piece, and then we definitely communicate with the parents and have them involved.
Yeah, absolutely. I can jump in real fast. So we definitely, of course, believe in the importance and know the importance of keeping families engaged and involved in this learning. So throughout the program, there are pieces that go directly to families to tell them exactly kind of what we're teaching for those particular units or lessons. And so they keep them involved and help reinforce that learning of the program at home. Things like Cindy was saying, recognizing emotions and kind of thinking through those emotions, working on coping strategies. So there's that communication piece with families throughout the program. There also is a new feature we're piloting right now with a few districts across Texas. I think Lake Travis ISD is one of the ones that I think off the top of my head. Basically, what that would allow is for parents to be able to see exactly what all the lessons are. So while you can see the scope and sequence, we want to also help families see any videos that might be included in the presentations as well. And that's something that we could set up if needed. Right now, it's kind of a if you ask for it, we can set that up. But we're hoping to see how it goes right now this semester and launch it in the fall for kind of all districts that want that access. So yeah, we definitely believe, that transparency piece and keeping families involved is a big part of it. Hopefully that answers it.
So when you mentioned sharing with the parents what the lessons are about, are you specifically allowing parents to have access to seeing the material that's used, or are you just informing them of what the lesson plan or the lesson goals are?
Yeah, great question. So traditionally, yeah, it's mostly been the lesson plans. And then this new pilot would allow parents to see all of the material completely. So they could go in and see all the videos, all the presentations, all the discussion guides, and really get a feel for it. Because the big thing about this is it is digital, but students don't log in themselves. It's all designed for teachers to directly facilitate the learning, kind of stand in front of the class with the presentation and their lesson plan, and kind of facilitate all those discussions. So the big piece is just kind of all those presentations and kind of the back end that the teacher would see. So we're piloting right now for families to have that full access. Just been kind of a thinking through the copyright and how that works. But if that was something that would help you all kind of feel better about it, we can set that up for you, sure. Absolutely.
I have a couple questions. So currently you don't have anything starting at the kindergarten level?
We do, but it's kind of our own. Every campus has their own thing. Okay. And so we just don't have anything that's like, you know, has continuity between the campuses.
Okay. All right. So this would allow all the campuses to basically use the same and build up on
it does not include junior high or high school.
Okay, so it would go through sixth grade, and at junior high, your hope is that they've learned.
Well, they have a program over there called Project Positivity.
Okay.
And they have that there. They also use pieces of Project Positivity at elementary and intermediate.
Yes.
And primary.
And that's correct. And
so primary. Would you still continue that project?
And so that's basically led by our administrator, Dr. Youngberg, mm-hmm. and so that's kind of over the announcements, and it's like a 5-minute blip. It doesn't really dive into the social emotional learning that we
it's
want
to really
get
short and sweet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So would social emotional learning be separate then from the character education?
It would tie together. It would be the same thing. And so our counselors provide character education, so we would provide the social emotional learning too. And so
would Second Step kind of take the place of what you're currently using?
Yes. Well, for my curriculum, it would.
In primary.
If it covers what we need to cover in the character ed piece, because the state says we have to cover certain things
under character ed.
Mm-hmm. And it does. So it covers those. And with the Second Step, it's a lot like our TEKS are set up for our curriculum, where they are vertically aligned. And so in kindergarten, they will be talking about the same thing as they are in fifth grade, and that kind of thing. So they are, they have a scope and sequence, which is one of the other components that I really liked about Second Step that the other curriculums were missing.
How will you account for,
go ahead.
I was just going to ask, how will you account for those who move into the district? We have such a large military base
right next door.
So will they kind of be left behind in this, or?
No, I mean, I think they would just jump on it like anything else. I mean, we also have military counselors, and so we can use them and work with them and collaborate with them and kind of tie in and make sure if they're missing a piece that the military counselor can maybe like back up and get that in there.
Cindy, if I can, we also have the Anchored for Life program, and I think the junior high has just recently acquired that, so it's another support for our military students.
That's good.
I know I'm later in the agenda, but do you want me to go ahead and touch on what we currently have? That way that it might answer some questions.
I have one more question too.
Yeah.
Tyler, are you still on?
Yes.
Okay. You mentioned pilot programs. I just want to talk about that for a minute, please.
Yeah.
The pilot programs, can you tell me a little bit more about those? And is this a data collection type of endeavor? And are you collecting data on students?
We don't collect any data on students at all. The way our digital program works, so students don't log in. There's no quizzes or assessments or anything that they take through our program. All that they would do in terms of evidence of their learning would be like handouts that the teacher would print out and have, just have internally within that school. So we don't collect any data on students at all.
Okay, so there's no surveys or anything that students would fill out during the course of the pilot program?
Okay,
good.
So it's mainly whatever the teacher is teaching in the classroom, that's what they're getting?
Yeah, that's all we get, yeah.
Okay.
We do have some recommended assessments that some districts use, but they aren't really tied to us at all in terms of this.
Okay. And one thing I wanted to add, my other part of my question was, you mentioned that you liked it because it was easier for teachers to incorporate. How can you explain that? Because I'm a huge supporter of teachers, and anything that does not require more work on their part, I will be like, yes, please. Please go home at 5 o'clock.
Four o'clock.
4 o'clock, please. Yes, the earlier the better. Well, I don't even know what that's like because I feel like all my kids are in after school stuff. But can you give me an example of how they would incorporate in a day?
Tyler set me up with an account, and so this is kind of like a pretend account.
Okay.
And I'm new at this, so I'm going to kind of geek my way through it. But here's activities. If I'm in kindergarten, so if a teacher wanted to do it, or if the counselor couldn't get in and do it, or if the teacher wanted to expand and extend on the lesson, then all they would have to do, I can, if I go back to, I can add teachers, let me try to show you.
I guess my question is more, is there a natural part of their day where they can say, okay, instead of teaching this, I'm going to bring this in because I'm noticing the kids are kind of arguing a lot today? Like, is it flexible that in their schedule and their agenda for what they're teaching that day, they can bring in one of these lessons instead?
I mean, I surely hope so. I mean, you know, I think they would, and I would like to think they would. So, like, here I have myself, and then I invited the other counselors. And so this would be, like, their classes. So if the other counselors logged in, they can have access to all the lessons. And then, and so if, it, like, for example, if they're having a problem with tattling or anger issues, then that teacher can go and find it in there, and then when they find the lesson, so here's a lesson plan, and here's the prep, and so, you know, helpful thoughts, everyone gets to share, so then they can add on to it, and so if you click on it, it's really kind of scripted, and so they have a 3-minute warm-up or a brain builder, and then they get started, and then a practice. So the teachers would be naturally extending onto the curriculum that the counselors are doing too.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. I think I was just trying to think about, I'm not a teacher at all. I think I subbed for 2 years. That's my extent. And I just remember as a sub, like, you got your lesson plan and you're like, if I want to be the favorite sub, I need to make sure I get all these things in today, right? So if the teacher is trying to get all those things in, this is something that they would need to work into their lesson plan, or else that means they don't have time to teach something else.
Or they could probably use, being an ex-teacher way back when, I always had time for different centers or something like that.
Okay.
But I know that if I had an issue in my classroom, I knew it affected learning.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would stop right then and we would talk about whatever the issue was in the classroom. Sometimes there wouldn't be any issues, and we just go on our merry way on it.
Right.
But if it affected the student's learning, what's going on in the classroom, or another student's learning, I always wanted to address that right then and there. And sometimes I could not wait for the counselor to come on my day for her to visit my classroom, and I would handle it myself.
Right.
Back then, we didn't have any curriculum. I just did the very best I could. So I kind of think that this might help.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers, if they feel like there is an issue in their classroom, and they try to call the counselor, and the counselor, no, I'm working with second grade this week, I can't come to the first grade, but here's something that might help right before I can come to your classroom. And
okay.
I would want something as a teacher, because I'd want to address it right then and there. I wouldn't want it to prolong 2
exactly.
weeks before the counselor could come.
Right, okay.
So that's just my opinion.
No, that's good, and that's kind of what, you know, if you're not a teacher, you're like, okay, realistically, are you going to use this? How often are you going to use it? But obviously, it's based on need. So, but I would be interested in knowing, you know, after we try it out, how many teachers actually are using it, and what benefits are they seeing?
Exactly,
right?
Because, you know, if we use this program or any other program, we want to make sure it's effective. And if teachers aren't using it, why are we spending that kind of money?
Exactly. Yep.
That's my whole thing on the money issue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I would actually be interested in seeing samples, like sample lesson plans too.
And so this is a sample. So it's, and Tyler, jump in at any moment if there's anything that you can, you know, add to.
I do want to ask Tyler something before I forget. Tyler, is there any professional development on the program so the teachers aren't struggling to figure out where they go, or even the counselors, where do I go to find something? Is there professional development included?
Yeah, absolutely. So at the beginning of the year, you should do an hour onboarding kind of with everyone. And I can be really flexible. It would be with me. I can help your school out, or your district, that notification. And so yeah, that hour, as well as ongoing support throughout the year. So right now I've been meeting with all of my districts that need help, and doing like extra trainings throughout the year as well as needed. So yeah, we're definitely here to partner with you all and help you in whatever way works best for you. I'll speak just for a second kind of on the other conversation, which was great in terms of how the program, how teachers are going to use this. And a great kind of feature of it is it really can be flexible. We designed it to be kind of a tier one program, so it's being taught in classrooms. We kind of designed it to be taught once per week. For the younger kiddos, it's about 15 to 20 minutes. For a little bit older, those middle grades, 20 to 25 minutes, and then 30 to 35 minutes for that sixth grade, and that would be once per week. The big thing, best thing about this is these are the skills that teachers are already teaching. One of the best things about Second Step, it kind of puts it in a nice framework and a consistent framework. So you can kind of have that common language throughout the school on kind of what it means to identify emotions, what are the emotions we're trying to identify, you know, how can we identify emotions in others, how can we use kind of our thinking brain to help control those emotions, all those types of things are kind of part of it. And so it was a little bit of a rambling answer there, but hopefully I can answer your question.
Okay. Yeah, so here's an example of a lesson. So this is first grade. Everyone gets distracted, and so it just tells us what we're doing here. This is something that definitely needs to be addressed at the beginning of the year, is being distracted, and probably readdressed quite a bit throughout the year. But and so it begins with, you know, let's warm our brains with a... I'm trying to click on it. I don't know.
So
can I click on it from here?
I can't see. Are you on the lesson or in the presentation?
Yeah.
So it has limited permissions, yeah. Maybe not.
Okay, you should be able to click on it. It'll open up kind of a PDF for the lesson plan. That's going to include all the scripting for the lesson, which is another big feature of this program in terms of teachers, because I definitely am sympathetic to teachers not having or not feeling like they have the time to implement kind of new initiatives in their classrooms. And we definitely understand that fully, and so we try to make it as easy as possible for teachers to be able to quickly implement it. So all the lesson plans are completely scripted out. So the teacher can have that presentation, which is built into their dashboard, and have that lesson plan in front of them, and just kind of work through the slides, kind of reading through that lesson plan. I don't know if you've been able to pull it up yet.
So I'm at the PDF, and it says like Brain Builder, 3 minutes. Is there a way to click onto that Brain Builder from here?
Oh, gotcha, yeah. So go back to your dashboard, sorry.
Okay.
And then you have to hit that either teach or resume, that button, that when you're in that lesson.
Right here.
That will take you to the actual presentation.
She's in the quick
start. I was mentioning that family pilot that we're doing where you can get family access. The families would have access to that presentation, so they would be able to see exactly what the videos are, what all those prompts are, on top of the lesson plan itself.
Okay, maybe right here.
Can he show us? I know you're just trying.
He could probably present
can you,
it. Yeah.
Can you show us, Tyler? Or
can you show us the lesson?
You know what? I think I found it, though.
Is there a way for people without internet access at home to access this?
If he does it, he can share the screen and walk us through it.
So do you have to have internet access?
Well, would they be able to go to the school and look at the...
Yes. Okay. And then they would also be able to get hard copies of the lessons.
Okay.
Can you get him to do it so that he can share his screen?
Yeah. So would you mind doing that for us, Tyler?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I wasn't sure.
No, I don't know.
Can you share a lesson
with us? All right. So here is, actually, let me do one better. I'll share my whole screen so I can show them side by side. All right. So this is the dashboard here that we're at. These are all the lessons. So a cool thing, everything's just laid out. I'm sorry you're all over here. My other monitors, I apologize if I'm not looking at you. So we'll go to, let's see, what lesson we're, grade one, unit one is growth mindset and goal setting. This is everything to teachers. So lesson one is time to pay attention, that's where you're just at. So here are all the resources the teacher would use. So first one is this lesson plan. Again, this is kind of designed for them to have in front of them while they're directly teaching the lesson. Oftentimes, teachers will have this kind of on their iPad while they're teaching, or just printed out, of course. And then you go back to your dashboard, and then you resume, because I've already opened this before, kind of helps keep track of where you are. And this is the presentation that you would present to the class. Okay? And this goes along with the learning. And for every lesson, for the whole program, there's a presentation built in. There's another handy part about this. The presentation is in your dashboard. It's ready to go. You don't have to like download a PowerPoint presentation or anything like that. It's just kind of there in your dashboard along with the lesson plan and everything else you need to teach the lesson. So here you would have your brain builder at the beginning and your lesson plan. So the teacher would read the bold, that's the script. So it'd say, let's warm up our brains with the brain builder, level one of puddle jump. But I can play a little bit of this just so you have an idea of kind of what that looks like here. I think I should have this out.
It's time to build your brain. You're going to play level one of a game called Puddle Jump. Imagine you're standing in the grass and the space on the floor in front of you is a puddle.
Yeah, no, we don't do a shine, so I won't play the entire video, but every lesson starts with a brain builder. They're kind of fun games for students to kind of work on paying attention as well as executive functioning skills and facilitating growth mindset. They kind of get harder throughout the school. These are also great activities for like after recess. Any teacher, even if you're not teaching second step, can still access these activities and kind of playing with the class throughout the week or the school year. I'm just kind of help recenter everyone on learning. So then the teacher would just go through. So the getting started section is introducing the lesson for that day. Every time you hit a line in your lesson plan, that's basically the next slide presentation. And you just kind of work through that way, reading through the script. The regular text is just instructions for the teacher. The italics are anticipated student responses that you might expect to see. So that's kind of really how it would work. And every lesson is going to look the same. It's going to be laid out the same. So it's very predictable for both the students and the teachers, which is a nice kind of feature of the program. And so if you went to the next lesson down, so lesson two, everyone gets distracted, you'd have that same lesson plan you would pull up. So you'd have all that scripting, you'd have that in front of you while you're teaching the lesson, and then you open up that presentation that's going to look kind of similar in feel, and of course the content's going to be different. Start with that brain builder, getting started, introducing the activities, some sort of practice, and then a check. There. Questions so far? Pause there.
We have one.
I see that there's a Dropbox by English. Do you have it available in Spanish as well?
Yes. So all of the lesson plans and student handouts are translated in English and Spanish. We are working right now, by fall, we'll have the videos translated in Spanish as well, so you can play those as part of it.
Can the videos be assigned into Google Classroom?
So these would be videos, they wouldn't, again, so students don't have those, don't have access to these videos. They would be something the teacher would have to, like, display for them. That makes sense.
So if we have remote students, you can't assign the teacher video portion for them to see and follow along?
Yeah, no, you'd have to record basically your screen as the teacher, and then you could upload it that way. You'd still kind of have to have that teacher directly facilitating it.
Thank you.
Can you address the diversity, equity, and inclusion goals of Committee for Children and how that, you know, would affect the Second Step program?
Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of the program itself, so Committee for Children, we started kind of to prevent child sexual abuse. So we've been doing this since 79. It's like a nonprofit. That has built these SEL curriculums, and all of the diversity, equity, inclusion pieces of it isn't included in this program itself. It's kind of part of more of our broader organizational goals. So there are some things on Committee for Children, kind of our websites and resources for schools to use in conjunction with our Second Step program, but they're not something that's built in, if that makes sense.
Any other questions for Tyler?
Yeah.
Okay, Tyler, thank you for meeting with us.
Thanks, Tyler.
And we will get back in touch with you hopefully tomorrow. Okay.
All right, that's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, we have one more presentation. We have Steve, and Steve, I'm not going to say your last name.
Don't
butcher it. But Steve, I wanted to let you guys know that he's with Project Turnaround. Project Turnaround was approved by the SHAC probably about 10 years ago. And we have used some of their programs, but I wanted them to come and present again since it was 10 years ago since we did approve them. And things change. Mm-hmm. And so we just want to hear what they have to say. So Steve,
sure. Over to you. So again, my name is Steven Winselowitz. I'm the Prevention Coordinator for Coastal Wind Wellness Foundation's Project Turnaround. It's a whole mouthful there. I apologize. And this is my director, Latricia Gunnell. She's going to start us off, and then we're going to kind of ping-pong it back and forth.
Yeah. So forgive me if I stumble a little bit. I'm fairly new to Coastal Bend Wellness Foundation. I am probably coming up on a year in this industry. But if you guys have one of these in front of you, pretty much what we're going to talk about is located inside the copies. But Coastal Bend has been around since 1986. We are a federally qualified health center, which means that we can offer services to anyone. And so the actual headquarters is located on Holly Road. And so who are we? We are youth programs, and Stephen's going to take it after that.
Gotcha. So, yes, we're youth programs. My program specifically is Project Turnaround. In Project Turnaround, we are a substance use / misuse prevention education program. We have a couple of different curriculums that we go over, quite similar to how that, what was the program?
Second step.
Kind of similar to that, only our focus and goal is strictly substance use and substance misuse prevention education. We do indeed a lot of presentations as well, which is why we were contacted again. We do ATOD, so alcohol, tobacco, or other drugs specific presentations, typically throughout the Coastal Bend. When I go to schools or speak with counselors or other admin, I ask the question, what is it that you're seeing in your schools, right? And that question varies from place to place, right? So we can develop and tailor presentations that are based on the specific needs of each campus. For example, in Alice, we've developed a presentation for vaping. I found that in speaking with admin, oftentimes admin don't know the difference between a nicotine vape and a THC vape. Mm-hmm. And I inform them that the difference is a felony charge. Mm-hmm. And that's a very tremendous issue for everybody, especially students, when they don't realize that felony charges are very serious mm-hmm. charges, right? Mm-hmm. So we decided to include those two topics into one umbrella presentation, you know. Mm-hmm. And the presentation can be delivered separately, right? Just nicotine, just THC. But I thought, you know, to cover both all at once, mm-hmm. right?
The charges.
Yeah. So moving on.
And I think that's what Mrs. Martinez was interested in.
Yes.
Is
yes.
the vaping program yes. that you have.
Yeah.
But we would, I mean, if we can get the rest of the topics, you know, approved as well, we could use them maybe like during Red Ribbon Week and other things as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs, what actually do we do? And so we thought it was important to also give you guys a total gamut of what we do. We are, we teach on a curriculum called Too Good for Drugs, which is based out of Atlanta. It is aligned with the TEKS. It is on the National Registry. It is a national curriculum that's evidence-based, along with our CBSG, which is Rainbow Days. The difference between those two is Too Good for Drugs is K-12, and it's universal, so it's the entire class. The Rainbow Days is the selected demographic, meaning that you see certain traits in a kid or certain behaviors in a kid where they should almost be referred out to a counselor. And so we try to get to them before they are in full, addiction?
Sure.
So, yes. And so, like Stephen was saying, we do custom presentations. So coping skills, we do cyberbullying, bullying, positive emotions, how to handle emotions, managing emotions. Anything that you guys would want, we can create a custom presentation. Along with positive alternatives, And so that's a different spin on things. We can play a game and not just bingo or Monopoly. We can create a game surrounding that, having those dialogues and discussions with the kids. And so one of the things I told him I forgot was to mention our gaming. We created a new media room. And so kids are now into gaming and Twitch and Streamlabs and so forth. And so we have created a media room where we can actually get on their level and play games and talk about, hey, do you know why baking's not good for you and it hurts your lungs? And so that's why you guys can see the outbreak of lung. That I actually took that from the CDC. And so we can also provide social policy change. And then we are also aligned with the TICS, like I mentioned, and we also cover SEL as well.
Like Trish was saying, we have developed a game room. My concept there was to literally play games. Kids watch streamers all the time, right? So my hope was to let's get on there and play some games and talk about something pro-social while we're doing it. Kind of like wrap up a pro-social topic into something that's fun and more palatable to younger kids, right? I think I want to skip to, that's all of it. You want to watch the little 30-second video, Trish?
Well, we also cover counties. Talk about the counties that we're in.
I don't see that slide.
Oh.
There.
Oh, okay.
That's the, there.
So those are, so far we have 8 counties we serve, and they're there. Aransas, Bee, Brooks, Jim, Wells, Claybrook, Kennedy, Williams, and Pat. And those are also the demographics. There's not, we cover the lifespan. And so our curriculum, although it's in schools, K through 12, we also do parent workshops. We also do things as far as like hidden in plain sight. So if you go into kids' bedroom, nowadays they have tricky ways to hide their equipment. And as a parent, I just learned this. So I was like, oh my God, they can put it inside of a surge protector. So there are ways that kids are kind of sneaking these things in. I know my daughter, she says, well, they can do it in front of the teacher and you can't smell it. And so we teach parents, we teach administrators, we go out and we tell you guys this is what to look out for. And so we cover the lifespan.
Yeah.
So.
Like Trish was saying, how to identify, you know, these kinds of paraphernalia in a bedroom or in a classroom or anywhere. And it's very subversive. I've seen vapes that are hidden inside of the strings of a hoodie.
Yeah.
And the kid can literally hit a vape or take a puff from the vape from the string of the hoodie.
Blew my mind. He goes, now they go and they go up the bathroom wherever they can.
Yeah. Yeah. At schools a school that I go to that has metal detectors, not to catch weapons, but to catch vapes.
Yes.
And there are vape detectors in the bathrooms, and the kids have found ways to circumvent this by taking a hit of the vape and running out to the hallway and then blowing it in their shirt. And then, like, admin have found them, seen them run out, and then by the time they do, it's...
The smoke is there, but the kid is there, so...
It's, where do you get your training?
We get our training from the state. So we're a state-funded...
What department of the state?
HHS. Yes.
So we're funded by the state. We do have performance measures that we meet, but we also, inside of the brochure you'll see, I have 10 prevention specialists, and we all have 150 hours every year of training we have to go through.
Yeah.
And I'm coming up on a year, but he's my only certified prevention specialist. So after a year, all the training leads to becoming a certified prevention specialist. So I give him kudos for that. So, do you want to go to the video and show?
I want to touch back a little bit more on the curriculum. So the curriculum is Too Good for Drugs, and it's the Mendez Foundation. They've been around since the 60s. And they essentially would go through the 10-week set of curriculum. The first couple of lessons are, you know, social, emotional, it's all social emotional learning, but it's more behavioral health. It's goal setting, decision making, effective communication, managing emotions. Then we get into peer pressure. Then we get into the substance related lessons. So that's alcohol, tobacco, other drugs. Those lessons are developed age appropriately, right? So what a first grader will receive is going to be different than
what an older gradesman would also see, right?
And that's why we have these. Cause
yeah, Wagner's our second grade, and Carmen is our first grade puppets. We teach a lot with in those younger grades with the puppets. And what was I going to say? So there are sample lessons that are available on the Mendez Foundation's website. If I could get, I can get y'all's emails, I could show y'all furthermore what that might look like. Mm-hmm. Also, I could pull up, if anybody has any questions on the, oh, but I don't have internet, so.
I apologize, I have to go to practice.
I don't know where
okay.
Nice.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Dr. Barginski, maybe you could send, since you have all of our emails, you can send what he's trying
to
do.
Well,
sure.
Yeah, to the
yeah.
Group.
Yeah, that'd be great. Mm-hmm.
I just recently created an email with all of the listed sample lessons from each grade, as well as their evidence base, because it's for the state, we have to have an evidence base. So we do have pre-surveys and we have post-surveys, mm-hmm. which ask just for opinion of the child, what their opinions are of substances mm-hmm. or of things. And then at the end, same questions, just to see if our education has swayed their opinion.
If it's working. We want to
yeah.
know if it's working.
Essentially.
Right? Did you learn the difference between
yeah.
teaching? Right.
Yeah, and when we talk about, yes?
How do you obtain parent permission to collect that information, the survey on the students?
That is it's part of an opt-out. We have opt-out forms. It's a tricky thing to explain to the students, but they're essentially the opposite of permission slips. So we take these, we have take-home packets that have a letter explaining who we are, what we're going to be doing, a lesson outline, and then participant rights information, as well as an opt-out verification form, which if the parent decides that they don't want their student to participate, they can sign, and then that student will then be removed from the class or participate in some other activity while the education is going on. Mm-hmm. Also, our emails, her email and my email are on those forms so that you can contact us at any time.
Any questions? Any?
Yeah. Question?
Oh, no, sorry. I was itching.
No worries. Any other questions? Don't be shy. I can answer.
Can you talk about the Red Ribbon presentations?
Red Ribbon Week. So, yeah, sure. Red Ribbon Week. We can do, so typically, right, Red Ribbon Week is a very ATOD-focused week, obviously, right? So it would be presentations on any number of substances. We do have a bunch of really cool peripheral things, like we have some real-life pig lungs that have been damaged. Some are healthy, right? One pair is healthy. The other pair has been damaged by cigarette smoke, and the kids go bananas for them. They're pretty cool. Like, you can pump them, and they'll inflate. The healthy ones, obviously, right, look healthy and inflate very, very nicely. The damaged ones, not so much.
You can't see it very well, but it's on that
there's
back.
A picture there.
Yeah.
Sorry,
we were working with our copier to get this back.
Get us some color, however, yeah. So that, and that, to kind of reinforce that Red Ribbon Week stuff, it's kind of whatever it is y'all are, what are y'all seeing in your schools? What kind of thing might you be wanting to focus on? We do a lot of tobacco stuff, obviously. Sometimes prescription medications. Also alcohol. Alcohol typically surrounds spring break as well. We recently developed a couple of presentations that are decision making. We did it at a high school in Corpus the week before spring break, and then we did a managing mistakes presentation the week following spring break, just because, you know, we make mistakes and we have to learn how to, you know.
That's the point that I want to allude to, is the out-of-school time.
Yeah.
And that, with the department, we've been focusing on out-of-school time, because out-of-school, I don't mind, what do I want to get into, what do I want to try? And so we've been thinking about spring break camps and summer camps and so forth to kind of, you know, be productive and teach at the same time. So.
Any other questions?
We've got like samples of like
Oh yeah, we got some incentives for everybody.
Yeah,
incentivized participation in class. We have toys.
Yeah.
Stress balls and
journals.
And journals and poppets. Kids love the youth love the poppets. But I would love to share. I'll get your email and I'll shoot you that email to share with y'all the curriculum developer and the list of lessons in their overview. We're also in the works of creating a parent presentation where we do the curriculum essentially after school with the parents in the form of a presentation so that the parents get to meet the prevention specialist for one that's in there with their students, develop a relationship with them as well, and get to participate in the same education. Mm-hmm. And like I think the last program that had, we have home workouts similar to what the last one had, where we send the kids home with these little activities that then the parents can participate in to further reinforce the same topics. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Again, is it first grade through 12th or kindergarten? What's the age range again?
Too Good for Drugs, our YPU, Youth Prevention Universal, is K through 12.
Okay.
We do only deliver curriculum on our end to first through 12th.
Okay.
Because we don't have a measurement tool, i.e. a survey for kinder, but we still do presentations for kinder, which would be the exact same thing to them as curriculum would be. We just count it something different for our state reporting. Yes.
So how frequently are these done?
Once a week for 10 weeks.
And the teachers do them?
We do them.
You
yeah.
come into every class?
We come into every
so
class.
The
yes,
ma'am.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
How long do they take?
Yeah, how long?
K through third grade is 30 minutes. I ask for 35 typically because we need a little bit of extra time sometimes to keep everybody, get everyone settled down. They get the youth get super excited when they come in, and we have the puppets, and so extra 5 minutes sometimes to cool everybody off. The grades above that, so fourth through middle school, are 45 minutes. High school is 50.
Once a week?
Once a week, yes.
For 10 weeks.
For 10 weeks.
For 10 weeks.
Yeah. So say, for example, you have four fourth grade classes. We would see them on a Monday, every Monday for the following 10 weeks.
Okay, but like I teach at the middle school.
Shit, okay.
So I have six classes a day of different children.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we have four teachers doing that.
But we have 20 first grade teachers.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we have a team, and sometimes we send out whole teams of people to take over. Mm-hmm. And realistically, we can't see everyone all in 1 year. And sometimes because like she said, we have eight counties, so we're all over the place. So we kind of try to spread it out as best we can. Mm-hmm. But I'll be honest, in most cases, it is first come, first serve.
Yeah.
So whatever community connections and partnerships we make and solidify, then we want to, for example, since I've been there for almost 2 years, we've been consistently going back to Odom. I've been in there in the elementary, the intermediate, the junior high, and the high school, and I've seen those kids over the past 2 years go from grade to grade, and it's been a lot of fun. Yes.
So I guess what she's kind of pointing out is, could we concise it to like maybe just one specific subject, like a health class or like an advisory
yes.
or like maps?
Absolutely,
okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Yeah.
We try
that.
To.
No,
yeah.
That's
not,
thank you.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
makes more sense.
Yeah.
That are not
yeah.
tested.
Yeah. So that's usually something.
That's always me though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
also,
a,
that's usually something that we work out
with
the counselor or whomever our contact is at the school. And it
so
would
what
be
does it fit?
Yeah, next either a non-tested subject or electives.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes a lot more sense because I think a lot of the problem that principals have with presentations are interrupting instruction time. So if it could
right.
like, you know, be a health class or a PE class in our younger grades, we have advisory at the junior high.
See, and
then
advisories are my favorite.
Yes.
To be,
and then we have MAPS
yeah.
classes at the high school where
yeah,
you
yeah.
could come in and do it. And then you could probably do it for 10 weeks, but
sure.
just like
doing that one subject.
Maybe. Yeah, it's tough. And I hate to take over someone's class for that long of a time, because I understand, absolutely. So we try to also, in the first semester, is typically easier for us. The fall semester is easier because there are no tests so much, as there are in the second. So later grades in the first semester, or in the fall semester, and then we usually see the younger grades in the spring semester.
I have a question with parent presentations. Would y'all do something more concise on vaping and like maybe learning, teaching the parents like the differences between the vapes and all of that? Okay.
Yeah. So we have, when we can, every presentation that we have, we can tailor it to a specific audience to make it more appropriate and more informative for that audience, right? As well, Trish had mentioned we're developing a kind of a program we're calling Hidden in Plain Sight, which is a thing that has gone on across the country and is essentially informative, showing parents, like having them kind of an eye spy, what is vape paraphernalia amongst a bunch of things that are typical youth paraphernalia or something like that.
That looks fruity and colorful and just...
So they get to see it's tactile, it's more stuck in memory that way. But yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, that's great.
Now, I might have stepped out when you were talking about Red Ribbon. I know this curriculum is a 10-week curriculum.
Yes, ma'am.
What, do you have just like a one presentation during Red Ribbon or something that you could
come in and do? we can develop any presentation for Red Ribbon Week. That would be alcohol, tobacco, or other drug related. Mm-hmm. We could do a number of activities throughout Red Ribbon Week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, I usually, when we talk about that, I usually get with the counselor or whoever my contact is and say, let's spend some time and let's figure out what we can do specifically. What the need is and what we can really, hone our focus our strength there.
And he's not saying it, but depending on the age, which is probably the little ones, we get to bring Petey out somehow.
Oh, yeah. We have a mascot. He's a very large turtle. And he's regionally loved for being a very large turtle. He's adorable. I've been tasked with being Petey on many occasions. So, get to dance in the parking lot at the agency. This giant cumbersome head on.
That's funny.
And full disclosure, I live off of Purdue. My fiance and I are expecting.
Oh,
so our daughter will be a student here in a couple of years. Yeah, so I'm very excited. So.
All right.
Are you
going
to be on the Masked Singer?
Sorry?
You're going to be on the Masked Singer as Petey the Turtle?
I could be Petey.
That's right.
Petey doesn't speak, so we'd have to have him, like, the Petey, he'd be the dancer.
Oh,
have,
okay. There
someone
you go.
Else, someone else singing or something.
Cute.
We have Trish. Trish is an amazing singer. I'm just kidding.
No.
I'm just teasing.
No.
Okay. Thank you so much for presenting.
Sure.
Does anyone have any questions for Stephen?
More,
please.
Well, thank y'all very much.
Thank you.
And I'll get back to you.
Sure.
Okay.
And here's your business card.
Hi, Dave.
You gave it to Trish? Cool. I'll shoot you that. Send you that email.
All right, thank you. And I'll get it out to the people.
I'll do this.
Right out the door and just take a right.
All right.
It'll lead you to the front door.
Y'all
thank you so much.
Have a good afternoon.
Me too.
Thank you.
I'm pissed.
Oh, you know. That's a good tip.
I can sign you. Okay, the first ballot I'm giving you is for the second steps. Do we have enough members for a vote? I think we have to have.
Do you have enough voting members for a vote?
That's a good question.
Because
mm-hmm.
she
left.
No, I don't think I do. Let's see, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 people that can vote. And I only have 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mm-mm. And then the other question or concern I would have is, do you all feel comfortable making a vote without seeing anything in person?
I personally don't. I actually
and
have...
And circled need more information.
Okay. Yeah, for sure.
You can take my vote.
For sure. I just didn't feel like I got much content on the Second Steps presentation, and I am more concerned about content at this stage in selecting an SEL program for our students or even recommending one. So I have actually spent considerable time looking on the Second Steps website and reading kind of the fine print. So that motivates me to want to really see content.
And I'm just going to tell you, as a superintendent, I'm concerned about somebody else giving the lesson and not one of our teachers giving the lesson, or a counselor, one of our own employees. And I know we contract with them and what have you, but you know, once they're behind closed doors, mm-hmm. I'm not there. You as a teacher may step out, or as a counselor may step out.
Oh, you're talking about the
project turnarounds for project turnaround. Yeah. I have a concern with mm-hmm. that type of scenario. I mean, we would really have to look at making sure that the agreement says that our teachers would stay in the classroom or a counselor would be mm-hmm. present so mm-hmm. that we know what's being delivered.
Mm-hmm. I think we had that same that's conversation that they presented earlier in the year.
Yeah, I was going to say that we did.
We had that conversation.
Yeah.
Also, I'm sorry, 45 minutes out a week is a long time. That's a lot of time to give up for 10 weeks. I know I'm not a tested area. However, I have TEKS to meet, and I cannot meet them because I do Positivity Project every week already. Mm-hmm. That's already hard to fit in, and if we're doing as abbreviated as possible, we have to do it, and we do, gladly.
That and then your 45-45, Senate Bill 45-45 that you're having to fulfill those minutes,
yes, ma'am.
It just cuts into your time.
It's very challenging to do
concerning.
So many things, and to hear that it's that long. We're all for helping out, but the advisory time, even... We have kids who need that time for advisory, and it's not that we don't want to do something, we do. It's how do we make it work best for our children.
Well, and I also wonder, like, you know, you were talking about, like, we have some programs already in place. Mm-hmm. How much overlap is there
with these programs? I think it would take place of that is what it's stemming from. So I'm on the agenda to talk about what we have for SEL in the district right now. And I know, I think, what Ms. Drake is trying to get at is this has a counselor component, whereas our counselors don't really have a component with the Positivity Project, and I think it's kind of looping them all into one.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be very beneficial, because I know, speaking with our counselors and getting updates on SEL, a lot of our counselors are meeting for small groups. They are meeting for individual stuff. They are having to deal with crises and social emotional. And I do groups as well at the intermediate and the junior high, more individual stuff at the high school. But I think having a counselor component for all of us would be beneficial in that. And then, you know, just it would take place of the Positivity Project, mm-hmm. I think, is what she was getting at, kind of replacing that. Everyone being on the same page,
mm-hmm.
but I think that could go for any social emotional curriculum if we were to find one or have another presenter.
Mm-hmm.
I do know, like, we have Anchored for Life too. We also, the MAPS classes, what you're getting at, I have found the most success with any sort of student presentations is doing it through the MAPS classes and asking for permission through them. Those teachers.
I don't know what that class is.
It's only freshmen, right?
No, they go all the way through senior.
Oh, okay.
It's a class, basically, it works through social emotional learning, but also career stuff, education, like furthering their education, from what I've gotten from it. I did have a printout, but I left it on my desk.
What does the acronym stand for MAPS again?
Measures of Academic Personal Success.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you saying that's required for 9th through 12th?
I believe so.
Yeah. I thought it was just 9th grade is what Mrs. White told me.
No, I think it's just 9th grade.
It's just 9th grade. Okay,
so
when
my
I
son
looked it
just
up for myself, it did say 9 through 12. So I guess I
think
didn't
you
really
have
it
to
be
take
taught
it.
In 9 through 12, maybe.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of the freshmen tried to do it in 9th grade to get it.
Okay.
Check.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're told they have to do it, actually.
So what do you think it would look like at our school?
What school do you Junior high. I know, like, Ms. Schuster and Ms. DeLeon, what they do is they had the Purple Door do presentation, but it was during one of the classes.
That was an advisory.
And, yeah, and it was just, like, the 30 minutes, and it was just a one-time
one-time.
Thing. It was right. not a 10-week
Because we all watched yeah. it mm-hmm. on our TVs.
Yes.
That was and this then, year?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then we also did the Purple Door for Dating Violence Awareness Month at through the MAPS classes for the high school students as well. And we just asked permission.
So we did that
yes. And then we just, we did it in the auditorium, and that's kind of how we wrap that in with the students. But I think 10 weeks is a pretty long time to do something. But if they could do something more concise or any.
Like a one-time or yeah. come and, twice.
And we can do the one-time presentations because mm-hmm. in the past, like the 10 years ago when we used to use them at SDGC, because our students kind of are, it's revolving, right? They come for 30 days, 45 days, 60 days. So they're not always going to have that same group of students like they would at the junior high or at a regular mm-hmm. campus. Right. So for us, they would tailor it to a one-time presentation. Maybe this month, you know, decision making. Next month, we would bring them for, you know, the other topic. So eventually they cover the 10 weeks, but, you know, just once a month.
More spread out.
And then it wasn't mm-hmm. always the same group of students. So it was whoever was there at the time. And so that's how we want to use them at SDGC.
I would personally like to see something like just a one-time thing, like during Red Ribbon Week, like having a presentation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then also doing.
And they can do that.
Yeah.
That's good.
I'm thinking of elementary, but yeah. third grade assembly, fourth grade, and then we can kind of rally around that and just keep it very general where they discuss.
And maybe even have the parent, the yes. parent one that yeah. night before, mm-hmm. you know, that your kids are going to hear it the next day.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do agree that, because this is the case in every school district, the counselors need curriculum. They don't have a curriculum program that they can just go to for their lessons. Like I said, that's every district. Mm-hmm. That's beneficial to them.
Yeah.
To where it once it's approved, then if a teacher has an issue that comes up, like a death in the family of a student, and it's a younger group of kids and it impacts all of their class, they can go to the counselor and maybe pull from that lesson from the curriculum that mm-hmm. they have to be able to do something with their kids. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. I think that's beneficial, but it's when we're expecting the curriculum to be for our counselors and for our teachers mm-hmm. when it becomes, that's when it starts to stretch mm-hmm. that schedule for our regular ed teachers. When the counselors go in at a scheduled time and they're seeing groups, they're seeing the class,
that's
different.
And that's what I understood, that that's how the counselors were going to be using it, is as their curriculum when they go into the classrooms. Mm-hmm. Because they do go into the classrooms and do different lessons, yeah. but they wanted something that was streamlined, plus it would go over the grade levels. It would mm-hmm. be consistent over the grade levels.
Yeah.
And they don't have it, like she said, they don't yeah. have mm-hmm. something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's very beneficial too, because I know that that's a huge issue with like our counselors right now, is just having something to pull from. Mm-hmm. I know Ms. Gano at the high school, you know, we use Therapist Aid a lot, where we can pull worksheets from, or even like just different activities that we can do with the kids, mindfulness activities and stuff. And that's basically where we're getting a lot of our stuff from.
But your kiddos that you see, they have to have a permission. Ms. Connor's kids have yes. to have a permission slip.
She has a consent form, mm-hmm. yes. I have a permission slip for any of my groups. My individual stuff is just on a case-by-case basis. And I do a lot of individual stuff at the high school, but Ms. Connor, she does have a consent form just to meet with any child. And then we do have our military counselor that was mentioned previously, Ms. Bake, and she also has a consent form that has to be signed, mm-hmm. And she meets with a lot of our military kids. Now, she will sometimes meet if a child is in crisis and no one else is available. That happened yesterday at the junior high, where none of the counselors were available. I was off campus at the high school, and she kind of filled in and dealt with a crisis really fast. And so we all kind of have that component. I also know, and I made sure to write down, we are doing social emotional learning camps this summer. They're actually meeting right now about those. Ms. Kano and I are doing one together, and I think there are some other counselors and staff that are also doing some as well. And then I know at ECC they use Kelso's Choices right now.
Do you know what they're going to be using in the summertime?
I don't know about curriculum. That's what I think is part of the meeting right now mm-hmm. that's happening, so I couldn't answer that question, but I know that when we filled out our form, Ms. Cano and I, we were doing things like just simple activities like making, getting Orbeez with balloons and making their own stress balls and doing like chalk, like positive quotes with chalk. And then there was some other activities that we had included. We only have 4 hours.
So it's more activity
very small, yes, very activity-based, yeah. So I don't think there's any particular curriculum, but I'm not sure because they're meeting about it right now. So I'll find out tomorrow for sure.
So what has actually created this need for, I hear that there's a need or that the counselors don't have a curriculum. Is this like a new problem or has it been around? I guess I wasn't aware that counselors didn't have some sort of curriculum to draw
from. They did have a curriculum.
We had, I can't remember. They were books and they were huge. So you would have to carry your book with you and look through it.
That's not very user-friendly.
Pull from the instructions or make copies. Okay. I've been here 10 years, so I used it and I did not like it. We had, I think when I replaced the counselor and she moved to junior high, she had puppets, but the students didn't respond very well to the puppets, and I couldn't do a puppet voice, so.
Well, you're third and fourth grade. They're a little fast.
They're like,
puppet.
What's that?
They're like in the, that's dumb phase.
Yeah. So then turned around and had to develop something myself and through research. And you know, we came up with the SWAT, stop, walk away, avoid, tail for the bullying. Mm-hmm. So I had my PowerPoint presentations for those. So the kids could remember and, you know, just anger, different things like that. So I had to come up with my own resources.
Okay.
All 10 years that I've been here.
Good for you.
Thank you.
That's wonderful.
Thank you so much.
It's very innovative. I just wanted to share some thoughts I had about selecting an SEL program that would provide some continuity. I can see that there's a need for that, and counselors are requesting that. So I think just as a member of the SHAC, I want to be supportive of that endeavor. I do think that there's some things we need to keep in mind, and this is maybe comes from more of my role as being a parent on the SHAC, but just also our role as servants of the community. I think there's a couple of things we've got to balance, and that's solving problems and also upholding community values, because the purpose of the SHAC is to represent the community values. So, you know, there are some problems that we can help solve as our committee here, but there are times we've got to, you know, show leadership and really just provide an ordered and safe environment where all students have the opportunity to learn. As servants of the community, I think it's important for us to be conscientious, to uphold specific values and beliefs of our community. Some of these programs that we examine may provide solutions to our problems, but if our community culture and values itself are seen as like the source of the problem and would like to shift our community values, I just don't think how that's going to benefit our community, our students, really. So I'd like for us to keep that in mind. Any program that we choose or, you know, approve of or recommend, I think that we should make sure that it solves problems and upholds community values.
One, we need to be good stewards of the financial aspect of that too. So,
yes.
Or you know, buying programs that we're not sure are going to be used, that's not being a good steward of our
right.
of our district tax dollars.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So
I was wondering that. What is the financial?
We don't know the cost.
They haven't told us the cost on the other program.
I think it was a couple. Well, I don't know anything about the project turnaround.
There's no charge for their services.
Yes.
There's no charge.
No charge.
That's the federal federal program.
They receive funds from
the
Health and Human Services.
The second step, I think it's going to be a couple of $1,000s.
Is that per year? Or is it a one time, do you know?
I think it's per year.
And that's to share amongst all the K through six. Okay. It's not just one campus.
It was a license for K through six.
I was interested in what he had to say about how parents could access that. Mm-hmm. So it's funny how our kids don't have a sign-in.
That bothered me.
I wondered about that.
Our parents could.
It's like, because we always have to put everything in Google Classroom for our kids who aren't there. And if they can't have that, sometimes those are the kids that need it more than the ones who are sitting in front of
them. But, you know, it's almost like if, I don't know why it would be hard, but maybe it's also a way to kind of protect their identity, right? Like if you're giving each one of them a login, then they're capturing that data versus parents.
It was designed for the teachers or the counselors to deliver that.
Yeah, they don't want just logging in and listening to a teacher and having no one to talk with about discuss.
But then he mentioned parents would have access.
Exactly, he did.
Which I was confused by.
I think it's great for them to be able to access it at home because if you have a situation and the parent knows about it, has talked to teacher or counselor, then they can carry that forward at home too and have those conversations. But if it's that easy for parents to get to, then why couldn't a child access it?
I think the parents must have to have a login where a teacher can't just assign and you just click online.
I would love to see if that is the case.
But I do know that at times, I love my kids and I love their parents because I've been very blessed to work with the most wonderful people in the world. However, I do know that there are some parents when they have the access that will teach their children ahead of time because they know that it's coming and they want them to be prepared. And then the child will come in. Well, I already saw this. I don't have to pay attention.
Not me.
It's
I don't
rare.
Have time for that.
It's rare. But most parents don't. Watch this with me so you know the right questions to ask. And it's meant in a helpful way. But sometimes the kids don't understand, don't have the maturity to say, oh, you know, I already saw this. I'm just going to sit quietly. Instead, they'll be like, hey, watch what happens next. This guy's going to do that. And it can happen.
Do you know how they put the Positivity Project on Google Classroom?
We don't.
Okay.
I don't put it on there because I pick and choose what we use from the Positivity Project. And just like this, I walk it through.
Okay.
And they see clips here and there. So I can't put it on. It's lecture.
Okay.
So I didn't know if this would be beyond what we already do. Mm-hmm. If it's the same as what we already do, it's fine.
So it sounds like we're probably going to have to bring them back.
I think so, too.
Yeah, and have the actual...
When we have a quorum and get more information.
Right.
I'm so this sorry. Is the first time we've ever had this
I
small
know.
Of a group.
Yes.
It is... I mean, we actually have this whole place full, so it's kind of funny that this happened.
Okay. Well, I know we're running long.
Yeah,
we do have a couple of more things on the agenda, but it's very quick.
Okay.
I'm going to be doing a lot of it, and I can just tell you very quickly, but Gina has her part, too.
Okay.
Let me just go and tell you that right now on the fitness gram, we are on target, what I was told last time. It's not due until June to be uploaded. But the PE teachers are doing the fitness gram now during the PE times, okay?
Mm-hmm.
COVID update right now, cross your fingers, we are doing wonderful. We may have one or two cases in the district right now.
Are they still doing the offering of testing across
the
street?
Mm-hmm. Still doing that, and it's just a walk-in. You don't have to have an appointment or anything, you just walk in. I had to have one last week. I went to that conference. And didn't know before I could go to the conference, I had to upload a negative result. So,
well, that was convenient.
That was
very
convenient.
Savannah
talked about her social emotional learning. Do you have anything else, Savannah, that you wanted to talk about? I know you shared some information with us about.
No, but if y'all have any questions.
Well, I apologize. I kind of cut you off. I wanted to ask my question real quick, and I thought there was something you wanted to share.
It was mainly what Ms. B was saying. She kind of went over that a little bit when she was asking about the military. And basically, that's what I was going to talk about was kind of how we have our military counselor and what we're currently doing right now. I think the only other thing that I didn't really touch on a whole lot is ECC is using Kelsey's Choices. I don't know if y'all have heard of that. I kind of looked at it a little bit, but I didn't go much into researching it a whole lot. That's what they're using from what
How do
I understand.
You spell that?
It's K-E-L-S-O-S Choices.
Kelsis.
Yes.
Must be Greek. Sounds Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
No, ma'am.
All right.
Thank you.
Dawn was not able to be here today, and I just wanted to let you know what she was there doing. Everything is going great in the nurses' department right now. We have all of our nurses, and we did get a substitute nurse. We got another substitute nurse. We really needed her to be on board at the end of April when the junior high goes to HEB camp. And I send two nurses to HEB camp because we have two different camps, a boy camp and a girl camp, and they need to have a nurse in each camp. And so we have to get a substitute nurse
yeah.
to be at the campus where the nurse is not gone. But she said there's no issues. Everything is going great right now. If you had any questions for her, she would be glad to answer them. And then Gina.
Before you go to Gina, I'm sorry. ROTC is going to Nationals.
Yes.
Did you get the email about
it? Yes, I did. I did respond to them. They wow. have to be, they go every year, don't they, to Nationals? I think they go every year.
They're going to Nationals. Yeah. They are having to get tested
yes.
or
and
show proof of vaccination.
Just like this conference. Everyone's starting to do that now. And so our clinic will be testing the kiddos that are going to go to Nationals, NJROTC kids that go to Nationals. They can choose to go to their doctor and pay for it, or they can choose to go to the clinic and get it done for free. But a parent has to come to sign the permission if they're not if they're not 18 or older. Mm-hmm. The parent has to come.
Okay.
And yes, we're going to do that because we bought so many kits because we thought we were going to have to do it for HEB camp. And then HEB said, oh, you don't have to have it. And here we have 300 kits.
Yay. So now you can use them for, okay.
Yes.
Gina.
So I wanted to let y'all know that we introduced a new program this school year. Actually, two. We did the school food service program where we're doing a different summer program. And it actually is helpful because it allows us to get higher reimbursement rate. And then we were very blessed this school year that we offered the meals to the students for complimentary breakfast, complimentary lunch. And we also introduced another program called the Child and Adult Care Food Program. And we're actually doing holiday meals, so it was kind of nice. And we, during Thanksgiving break when they were out and Christmas break for 2 weeks and then spring break, we were able to send home meals with the families for the students that, you know, wanted them. And we're also right now we're doing tutoring. So they're having tutorings at the different campuses and we're offering snacks for them. And then on Saturday, we're doing a breakfast and a lunch meal too. So we're doing
for
that
tutoring.
Too. Yes.
Saturday.
Yes. So we're doing that and we're doing it at intermediate. We're starting we did it at primary elementary and now we're going to be adding intermediate and ECC is also asking for it. So, and I think junior high is going to be calling us soon. Yes. So I wanted to let y'all know about that. We actually had our audit because when you add a program in our, you know, into your program that you already have going, they do an audit, and our team did really well. We had an excellent audit, so very happy about that.
Kudos to you and your
team.
Yes,
we have a great
audit. Fantastic.
I have a crazy idea.
Okay.
So, because you're talking about, so first of all, I have to tell you my sixth grader who is my selective eater, because we can't say picky anymore. He loves your lunches.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
I'll let my team know.
Thank you. You've taken stress out of my day. But I have an athlete that has first period, and our athletes have to bring their own breakfast to eat after they work out because they come over to second grade and breakfast is over.
That's right.
Second period, so, and breakfast is over. Mm-hmm. Have y'all thought of, and I know that swimming is not the only first period athlete sport, I should say. Have y'all thought about something where the athletes could get breakfast?
Yeah, we can look into doing a second
like a grab bag when they're coming in. Okay.
I just need
well,
to
the thing is, like, they're
times.
There until they like. I think they get released like 10 minutes before, so they can walk back over to campus.
Uh-huh.
But for next year, just
Yeah. I know a lot of swimmers are very hungry.
Oh, I bet.
And, you know, you do that. I don't see why it would be. Because we do that for buses that are late and stuff like that. We have.
That's why I was like, this is an easy thing.
You did that for football players. Didn't you do it?
We did something, yes.
Because they have done, is theirs first period?
But then they were, you know, they're done with that, so then they didn't do it anymore.
Some of them might eat three of those bags. I don't know. I don't know if you want to start that. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
We want our kids to eat because, you know, we're here for the kids and it's all about the kids.
Because I asked him, I said, well, am I the only mom that's sending you a breakfast? And he's like, yeah.
Oh. Probably need a visit with Chris. Steinbrook to find out.
I was like, what do you mean they're not eating? Well, he's like, well, they have an early lunch. They're okay. I'm like, what? Yeah. You guys burn like 5,000 calories.
Our kids love, not all of them, but most of the kids love lunch.
It's her favorite subject.
Our students walk from, I don't know where he got it, but he was walking right in front of the Domino's and heading to the 18 plus program, and he had his tray.
Oh, wow. He was so like, he
didn't
drop it.
Hey, you know what? If you provide breakfast, the toddler's hands is going to lose money.
Yeah.
I have a question. Are you doing anything for the summer?
My what?
Are you doing anything for the summer?
Yes, we do a summer food program, yes.
Okay.
We always do. And we have, we have an open campus at the high school.
Okay.
And they're going to be having a lot of tutoring going on in the summer, or summer school, I should say, I'm sorry. And so we're going to do a second campus, but that's going to be a closed campus. But the high school campus and open campus, the community is welcome to come in and have a meal. And they can do it for breakfast and lunch.
Yes, okay.
We've done it every year.
Oh, thank you. Because we put them in the snack packs when I deliver them.
Thank you.
So are you going to do a summer flyer that I can put in?
Yes, we do one every year. In fact, I'm already looking at it because we do it in April.
Yeah, okay, awesome.
Yes.
That's great.
Let's see. I'm sorry. People are leaving because it's getting so late. I do want to, I'm sorry, Gina, are you finished?
Yes, okay. Unless anyone has any questions.
Thank you so much.
And you're going to talk to Chris?
Yes, I'm writing myself a little note.
The old business, I just wanted to update the SHAC committee on what was discussed with the school board at the school board meeting in February about the human sexuality instruction. The board voted that we did not need any extra curriculum, that all the TEKS could be met through the health and PE adoption book. So that meant that they were not going to charge the SHAC to start looking at different programs. So that resolution did not go through, since they said they voted that we would be able to cover the TEKS with our health and PE book, and it just kind of stopped there.
Okay.
So we're not going
to. Our existing books?
Do what?
No, the new adoption.
The new adoption. So just wanted to let you know that that's where we were with this human sexuality instruction. Okay. Any other discussion? We discussed a lot of stuff.
We really did.
Okay. Our next meeting is scheduled for April the 12th. That's like in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Did you guys want to move it to later or in May or something?
There's a major conflict on that day, too.
Is there?
Well, two. It's my birthday.
Oh! Well, we can have that.
I've been wanting cake. So.
Meeting that night at the high school.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Oh, okay.
So then it was meant to be that we needed to
we'll
switch
do it in May.
Because I just really couldn't think, you know, having it 2 weeks later. Yeah. So, so
it makes sense when this one was back in.
Yeah, it was back in February. This one was supposed to be in February.
Yes, in February.
So, so are you guys okay about May? Sometime in May. Let me get with the superintendent, and let me send out a couple of dates for you guys to look at your calendars, and then you can just give me some feedback on which date
and
is
we'll
better.
We'll have to bring the SEL curriculum back.
Yes, that time. We'll do the SEL. And did you guys want me to bring...
does Project Turnaround need to come back again?
That's what I'm asking. Yes. Do we need to do Project Turnaround again?
I think so. Is there a way that we can see a couple of other SEL presentations as well, or are we just going to view...
Well, we can see some other ones because Mrs. Drake said that she had looked at, did she say three or four different curriculums? Yeah. And she didn't, and we could bring those back.
I was looking online at the TEA website. Mm-hmm. I just kind of a research nerd, so I try to be informed or read or I have questions. Mm-hmm. And I thought there was a whole page, like, oh goodness, I don't know how many, 20, 30 different types of SEL or, you know, mm-hmm. programs that counselors could mm-hmm. use mm-hmm. or teachers. And one of them I was particularly impressed with was called Leader in Me.
Yes, I've seen that one
and
before.
I don't know if they've mm-hmm. ever presented or if we've ever looked at that. The other one, another question I had is I thought the primary selected for the health and PE for that age group, primary and elementary, did they select Quaver Ed PE or something like that?
I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. And they have an SEL component also, I noticed on their website, that I think I found that through the TEA website. I can't remember, but those were...
I've just seen it briefly,
sure.
Free sample.
Sure. So I was kind of wondering about that since they kind of enjoyed the Quaver Ed health and PE mm-hmm. component. I mm-hmm. wondered if that might also meet our needs. Mm-hmm. For
that's
that
a good idea. Yeah. So just some let me see if we can get one of the textbook reps from Quaver
okay.
to do a presentation on that piece of it.
Okay, great.
And we'll look at second step and Leader in Me. I have heard about Leader in Me, and I've heard that it's a pretty good curriculum there. Was that one of the ones that she mentioned to you guys?
I thought she did.
Okay.
And I didn't have a chance to look at it, but mm-hmm. it sounds good. Mm-hmm.
Because those four counselors had gotten together to talk about
you
curriculum.
Some cost analysis, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, right. Good idea.
Just so we can look. Now, I know that ESSER funds will be available if we have money mm-hmm. allocated mm-hmm. for that, but it's only for a couple of years.
Yes.
And so we need to think about sustainability.
If yeah. one of these are right for, point. You know, a one-time thing, yeah. it might, I don't know, it might be. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. okay. We'll do that. I'll get a quote on these, too.
Sounds good.
All right, anything else? So I'm asking Project Turnaround to come back. I'm asking Second Step. I'm looking at Leader in Me and Quaver, and then doing a cost analysis on all three of those, correct?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
A motion to adjourn.
Okay. Second?
Yes.
Ms. Martinez?
Mm-hmm.
So first was Mrs. Purcell, and then second was Mrs. Martinez. All right. Thank you, ladies, for being here and sticking with us.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brenda, do you want the extra?